Hello, everyone, and welcome back to MF Uncensored. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like The Multiverse Fancast and Cinematic Adventures. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul, and I am excited. I'm so excited. I know I say that a lot, but hey, I'm excited. It's fine. We have coming back to the show because we're living in this time where bringing people back is so much fun and so easy with Zoom, StreamYard, whatever you're doing. And sometimes the universe just works in a very mysterious way. And the reason I say that is because it is almost exactly at time of recording, almost exactly 2 years to the date. And we had no idea that that was the situation. But it is my pleasure to reintroduce or welcome back our good friend, Justin Arnold. Justin, how are you today?
Doing good, man. Thanks again for having me back on here. When you said to me, I was like, yeah, it's been a minute. And I was so grateful and doing good. I mean, I got a new book coming out and just it always seems like 2 years doesn't seem that long ago. But man, a lot's happened in the last 2 years for sure as well.
A ton has happened. You were on this show when we were really just kicking off. Like we were maybe 9-10 episodes in. Like it was a baby show. And now suddenly we were kind of shooting the shit beforehand and, you know, talking about where we are and what we've been working on. And like, it's wild how different the landscape is.
Yeah, man, that's awesome that you guys are doing so well. And like, yeah, I just started a podcast a year ago. And even just then, it's cool to be back on here. It's cool to chat. I always loved your energy, man. I'm just grateful for these opportunities, especially to connect with your listeners and provide some sort of value, hopefully, to them while they listen.
Oh, you definitely will. Also, I was re-listening to our episode, and there's one part that was so funny that I almost beat myself laughing. So at the time, we only did audio on the podcast. We were strictly an audio-only podcast. Obviously, that's changed in more recent months. And there's a part in our episode where you're showing your new tattoo at the time, or one of your tattoos at the time. And you take off your shirt during it. And I remember I actually commented, I was like, man, good thing we don't do video podcasts, or, you know, too bad we don't do video podcasts for some of the ladies at home. But I was,
it's all coming back.
Yep. Yep.
Well, because like, I remember because you guys are like, you're the only, I think the only ones ever commented on my tattoos on all the podcasts and things I've been on. And it's, you guys are like, it looks like that tells a story.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I said something like, yeah, it does. So, yeah, and I wish more people asked that because, you know, there's stories behind all of us. Some of us put it up on our skin. Some of us hide it within. And so I just decided to put it out there on here and hopefully people ask. I'm also, I think I might have mentioned, but if not, like, I'm a person of faith. So, you know, there's conflict in the faith world, in the Christian world, Christianity world of like, tattoos are bad, tattoos are good, you shouldn't do it. And I'm a believer, and I've even read materials on this. Like, if you get tattoos, you know, it could be a door that opens other people up to conversation, which it did for us, and people could ask about it. So it's a doorway to open the door for somebody to, you know, be curious. Because for believers like me, it's like, at the end of the day, if we truly believe in heaven, we want everyone there, like the greatest place versus the alternative, right? So could I be wrong? For sure. But that's just how I believe. And, you know, it's gotten me to where I am. And so, like, I put this on here and hopefully I'll strike up an interesting conversation, because now a day doesn't go by that I don't pass somebody on the street, most likely, that has some sort of tattoo. I think everything now is minimalism, where I've got, like, I don't even know if you can see with the lighting, but yeah, I've got my arms, I've got my chest, I've got one on my leg here. So it's like I got a lot going on now. Well,
they're also one of those things, and I think we discussed it the last time too. They're super addictive, because I have a firm belief that we don't lose imagination as we get older. We just channel it differently. Like, I love watching kids who are just playing with each other, and like, literally, they're in this huge world of their own making, and we're just watching them run around in circles. But like, to them, it's like the coolest thing. As adults, we have to find ways to express that creativity. It's still there. We just express it differently. For some people, it's tattoos. Some people, it's writing. Some people, it's doing podcasts. Like, I create worlds now with my podcast, and it is the coolest thing.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It is addictive. I'll add this piece, the addictiveness, not just necessarily the art and the creativity of all, but I'm one of those, I don't know, I'm not a masochist or anything, but it's therapeutic, man, the utter release. But I'm also the guy that, you know, a lot of people call it on the cold plunge. I've been doing that for 15 years. I lay on a bed of needles in the afternoon to release stress. So like, I'm that guy, but I find Like anytime I've gone and gotten a tattoo, other than one time, it's when I just got over COVID. It was the worst experience. And my tattoo actually admitted that it happened to a lot of people who had just gotten over COVID. And something with their neurology of the body. I'm good now, but it's like this one time. But other than that, it's like always been this euphoric release. I always feel like I just got a deep massage. I sat in a sauna for like an hour. It was amazing. But also the creative aspect or the childlike aspect. I mean, I've been reading this book, but I believe before I read this book, it's just like how we're all creators. I believe in some fortune, like writing, you mentioned that, it's an art form. And I've been trying to tell people this, that, we all have a way of creating something in our life. And I used to paint, draw. I'm a musician. I used to do pottery, but I don't really do a whole lot of that. Maybe occasionally I'll bang on some hand drums occasionally, but like I found my art form in writing now, and I absolutely love it. And that says a lot. I talked about it in my first book, like, for a guy who has been diagnosed ADHD and is very active and has a hard time like writing anything or sitting still, like to be able to write one and now two bestsellers, it's a testament of just, our creativity might change, but it's also just a testament to like challenge ourselves and try new things. You never know, and not to really set limitations on anything, because that might be where your creativity evolves and shifts. So who knows? But yeah, we're all meant to create. Just got to find your muse. It's all different for all of us.
Love it.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, let's go back in time, right? Two years, geez, 2 years ago. This what's wild to think, right? That 2022 is that year that everybody's trying to forget. But like, I love looking back at some of the things that like I was able to do. And our interview was one of my favorites. And to the point where like, as soon as you put up that you were doing a new book, I was like, I gotta reach out. Like, I gotta get him back on. Like, we had a very free-flowing, natural conversation. So, but those of you guys listening or watching who haven't seen it or heard it, I'll definitely put a link. But Justin, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about where you were in 2022 when we were talking? Because I think your book had just gotten released.
Just had my first book, Purpose Through Pain, Finding Limitless Potential in the Presence of Adversity. And so releasing that book, but through that process, so I talk about my book, and why I've written on a lot of channels. And but coming out of it was one of these things where, and for those that don't know, I never planned on writing a book. I never wanted to, never thought I could. It was finally like I needed to. What I realized after writing and reading my book multiple times, like it was the most therapeutic thing I had ever done in my life for anything. So I always encourage people to write, not necessarily write a book, but write your story out, read it out loud to yourself, especially those painful moments. If you can, share it with somebody else, because that's, man, because when it can just become words on a paper, it's huge. But also just like the more I share it, the more, I realize I did a lot of this. And this goes back to the creative art. You talked about art. We create, and we may not realize this. I literally just told my daughter, because she's an amazing artist, that like never forget, and I told this to her, never forget that you're creating for yourself in the hopes that somebody might enjoy it, but don't look for validation or whether somebody else will like it. It is your art, and somebody who may not like it, there might be somebody else. And same thing with your whatever you write. Like a lot of people might start a book or start a project and never finish it because of that. What if somebody doesn't like it? There's, or start a business or start a podcast, and there's gonna be plenty of people who don't like it, but there's gonna be plenty of people that do love it and lives are changed by it. What motivated me to write it was like when I went down the aisles into the bookstores and even looked on Amazon for a book that I wanted to write. I still to this day I don't really haven't seen a man who's written about the way I write my book about, male child sexual abuse trauma from my perspective and using it as a growth moment and seeing the gift in this pain, these painful experiences in my life. And so since then, it's just been great because I've been able to, other men have opened up. I've talked to at least four people who have written books because of my book and some of the things that I've said. Some high earning entrepreneurs who, they never looked at, like somebody I talk about in my first book is how time is your greatest resource, and time is, I basically can't compare time to money as far as like time is monetary in a way. And so like if you start looking at everything in that perspective versus, an exchange as opposed to just like actual monetary value, you'll start valuing it more. So like, what's it worth to play with your kids versus doing another hour on the computer and things like that. So again, I never thought I'd write a first, let alone a second, but that other that the only reason the second book is because of the first. I never had an intention to, but people were reading it and they were finding more purpose and never thought they had a purpose or didn't realize what a purpose could be or as simple as a purpose could be. And then, but people are still struggling who have read that, and it really helped them of like the aspect of joy, the aspect of joy and what that really means, and still like wanting to get out of bed or get up in the morning. And these are people you wouldn't even be like people that you wouldn't even think like, so, like Robin Williams is a great example. You would have never guessed, right? That's a lot of people who are doing look outside doing really, really well financially. Maybe they're the leaders in our churches, the leaders in our lives, in our businesses. I'm not saying every leader is hurting, but there are a lot of out there in their own area that are like that. Robin Williams, you think they're doing just great, top of the mountain stuff, hilarious or whatever, making millions or whatever their story is, that need stuff like that. So that motivated me to realize, oh my God, because the people that surprised me that were reaching into my DMs about purpose through pain. So I decided to make this one more of like a tool book. I know we'll get into it, but that first book and hearing people needed still more joy, happiness, a deeper meaning to it all. And especially through the storms of their life, you know, that first book motivated the second, but without the first book, the second one would have never been written. But again, you don't need to read the first to read the second either. They're not like that either.
I love it, man. Like that's so cool. You still like one of the things I loved about our first interview, and you're still doing it. You talk with so much passion. Like anything that you're talking, like, and I'm not being a good interviewer. I'm just like when you start talking, I just find myself getting sucked in because you have a very genuine passion. It's really one of my most frustrating things, especially now that I'm doing so much more video work and so much like watching other podcasters, how they do certain things, is you can tell when something's exceptionally scripted and fluffy, where it's sort of like, I heard you have a new book. Please tell me about that book. It sounds it drives me crazy. Like, and that was the whole point of this show, was to be unscripted and, you know, uncensored. So when you start talking, I love that we're doing video now because you can actually watch it. Like I watch the body language. It's awesome. So if you guys are just listening to the audio, you got to check out the YouTube channel. So make sure you head over there. But for you, though, you got the two books. You know, obviously one led to another. They're not necessarily connected. Did you find the process of writing this second book way different than writing the first book?
Yes. I'm trying to think how I want to say just other than just one word answer. Yes. In that I was so nervous/confident, if that makes sense, because I knew it was going to be a bigger underhaul, but I knew how I wanted to write the first, because I didn't know what I was doing. I had a book coach who helped me along the way. This second one, I wanted to challenge myself. I literally was doing it all on my own, and when it was ready to get the edits done. And it was interesting. I had somebody at the beginning just to like have the initial call, my initial who's going to head at me and keep the timelines, and we check in like once a month. Who pushed back on the way to write a book. And I'm like, this wasn't ego. This is a super huge tool that I want to share with people. However you create is how you create. Maybe look at examples, but your way is going to be your way. And so for example, the way I write, not anything I learned in school. I learned all that, you know, making outline. I had people who had never written a book chirping in my ear, telling me how to write a book, how to make an outline. And I wasn't resistant to rules or anything, even though it might seem that way, my long hair itself and my He-Man shirt and all my tattoos. It was more like, you know, I push into resistance and I fight to it. You got to know yourself really well. You really got to do that inner work to really know like what is resistance for good and is for bad. You know, like you got to have that daily battle. But for me, I knew I really flow well. I know, like, you know, I compare myself to Abe Lincoln in a way that like I hear and I've read about him of having like what looked like chaos but was organized. Now my house isn't a mess like his office sounded like it was, but it feels that way in my mind at times when I start getting ideas. And you know, before it used to be trauma, now that I've overcome it, can find the quiet in my mind, it's literally when I get ideas and I get that passion, I just got to put it out somewhere. So I got a Google Drive, just start putting it in. And that's what I do with my first book. And then I just piece the puzzles together. So again, the nervousness was doing it all on my own without really any help. But the knowing that I had a lot about this was the confidence, and already having, I had already sort of started on it before I officially started on it. In fact, I've even started on a third book, whether it happens or not, I've already started on that. Because if the ideas start coming, they just start coming. And then with that, like, I also wanted this to be deeper. I wanted there to be research, because I know I wanted to hit people with, you know, not just this works because this. I was like, and here's some data to back it. And some people don't care about it, but some people do. I know I love to know, like, oh, really? Like, I didn't, I want a book to sometimes surprise me. Like, maybe there's things that I know there's gonna be things in here that people may have heard before, but do they know why? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they hear it in a different way. And there's some really unique stuff. I mean, in my first book, I don't know if I cited much. There wasn't really much. This one, like, I don't know. I have to go back and look, but I probably have like 30 some different or more. More than that. I have a ton of end notes here. And it's not just that. I wanted this to be a guidebook of sorts for life, you know, to find joy no matter what you're going through. So yeah, it almost looks like a textbook. And it's not that it's necessarily longer, but it's that, you know, I broke things up so people could just go back to certain sections. At the end of each chapter, similar to my old book, I do have key takeaways, but they're a little bit deeper. And I do have growth questions, but they're a little bit deeper. But I even made it so simple where I put literally lines in
there.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Your notebook. And so, like, you're not even looking on your phone and your notes. If you use that, you can literally just go back to that. And that applies to definitely anybody, but also the people who have minds like me that sometimes read a page and forget it. You don't have to read the whole chapter to read a whole page. Maybe you just go back to the key takeaways. Maybe you just go back to your notes. Maybe you just go back to the subsection that I put in with each chapter. So I made it that way as well. So I know I went long-winded on that question, but yeah, I just, it, yes. And there you go.
So it's funny because you brought up a couple of things and we're going to unpack each one. I'm really good at honing in, but I have like, you know, it's funny because my wife got me this wonderful notebook that I keep right at the podcast studio because I am the same way. Once I get an idea, I have to tackle it. If I don't tackle it, it goes away. I also get very excited to the point where I don't remember which day it was, but like earlier this week, I told my wife, I was like, if I go down to the podcast studio, I'm not coming back up. You need to check me really quick. Cause if I go down there, I'm going to be down there for hours. And
I get that.
We laughed and, you know, she checked me. She always knows when I'm going a little too far. Like, hey, all right, now it's almost like a kid getting video game time sometimes. Like, you only get an hour, but
I think you pointed out a great reason why it's great to have a good wife, man. They are definitely like in the moment, we're like, go away. But, you know, my wife is so good at that too, like knowing when I need to put things down,
mm-hmm.
even when it's on, you know, like even in my old creative state. And it might get frustrating. It almost makes me feel like friction. But, you know, I have to, that's where my faith comes in. You know, my wife, you know, if it's taking away from something or she needs my attention, even if I do feel like it's annoying at the time, that I put it down and just I have faith that I'll come back to it when it needs to be come back to, which is a struggle sometimes. But man, I'm glad you brought that up just about like the wives in our lives as far as just, you know, we need that, right? Otherwise,
right.
You're down in the basement all day long.
You know, it's funny because, you know, for my relationship with my wife, I'm very grateful that she's also super understanding. Like, I will always tell people I was the guy that went to the gym during our honeymoon at least twice. Like, we stayed, you know, yeah, see, I figured you'd appreciate that. But I know for a fact that there are certain things that my wife will be my partner on, and she'll be like, hey, I understand this is your style, this is what you do. But then there will be other things like, okay, now here we're at. And that's a sign of a good partnership and a good relationship. And I'm grateful for the producer, as we like to call her on the show. So for us, though, like, we're both very creative minded people. We're always jumping in. But one of the things that you said it two different ways, which was great, about creating and feeling that almost nervousness to create and put it out there. You know, you felt it with your book. You felt it with, you know, any other endeavor, and like how people often will hold themselves back in order to like not feel that pain. They want to avoid it. So for you, you got two books. You're also working on this podcast. How, like, tell me about the podcast, how that started.
So it was a gift. So it's called Strive 365. And I have a lot on my plate. I mean, I coach my kids' sports. I play hockey. I I run a business, I write, I do a lot of things, I wear a lot of hats. So yeah, I was approached by a guy who owns an amazing podcast studio here, and we've done some work together. He knew I did a podcast, but it was kind of ran its course, and I literally like low budget, more just to put something out there, and that had run its course. But he reached out to me. He wanted to create a health show as he was going on his own health journey, and he thought about me being a regular guest. And
Nice.
he was thinking about having a female host or this other person who's thinking about having a host. But then the more he thought about it, he's like, screw Justin being a regular guest. He's like the guy. He should be the host of this show. And that his words, not mine. And I'm super grateful for that. And so it's essentially my show, and it's an idea that I had, but it's like, this was just like given to me at the right time. And I didn't want a high commitment, so we record or we put out two episodes every month, pretty much like every other Thursday. And it's anything within striving, and more or less, we want to make it realistic and easy and relatable. I also like to dive deeper into people who have overcome adversity and still manage to strive, because that's my story, so continually overcoming some obstacle, and so we touch on that, and it's anything from spiritual to, we even talked to a financial advisor. I mean, like, the typical like physical and mental and emotional stuff as well. And heck, I had a cool guy on there who was from Europe, who was how he had like him and his family were having all these health issues, and they went to realize it was their house that they were living in. And through that, he created a business of like inspecting houses and finding clean materials and how certain things can actually, like, we know this now, like how from the air to the materials even used in the building process can stay in the air and the soil or things, and they can lead to different types of just anything from asthma to even can severity of cancer and stuff. And so his story was pretty cool. So it's always getting deeper into these people face value. I'm not getting people on to sell a business or anything. It's literally like, what's something or things that people can like realistically like take away to live a better life? Like, we all know what is healthy. We all know, for the most part, the basics. We know getting outside, we know walking, we know, breathing clean air, we know drinking water, we know trying to move every day, we know try getting plenty of sleep. We know that like broccoli is probably going to be a better choice than a fried Oreo. Like, we know these things. So, and we also know like that's where like people, where experts come in and accountability. We also know not everybody can afford it. So what's little simple things I can do for people where they can tune in? And then you mentioned something good, like why you and I are both providing shorts, because we know not everybody's even going to watch our whole episode. We want to provide these little 1 minute clips, because it's really, maybe that's all someone's going to get. And in that 1 minute, can we provide enough value for somebody to help their life, to improve it, to their business, whatever we're running here, whatever podcast or whatever our thing that we're trying to give out for free, essentially, right?
Right. So I love that you mentioned, picking who's going to be on your show because they have to align with like what you do. Unfortunately, in the podcast landscape, man, like at the time that you and I recorded, I was working with a publicist. I don't know if you remember that at the time, but working with a publicist, and he did what he was going to do. It didn't, unfortunately, it soured, and it soured quickly. But it kind of fell on me, like, all right, I want to keep this interview-based show going. How do I go about it? And I would do interviews with almost anyone. Like, I didn't care, which worked 99% of the time. But it wasn't until more recently, especially, that it was like, why am I bringing on all these people that are just like selling their business that doesn't align? I know nothing about it. I love learning new things, don't get me wrong, but it's just not matching like my energy. And I think sometimes it comes out through the show. But it was something I learned really late into production. I'm like, and it's awesome that you picked it up right away and you're like, hey, this is my energy that I want to bring.
I'm about to put it out there. One other thing I'll add is that, like, I told somebody that I was gonna have my show, and she wanted to know the premise. I was like, well, look at it this way. We was just like sitting at a coffee store, and you and I having a conversation. Yeah, we just have to have headphones on, but like, and people might even drop and be curious of what we're talking about. I don't look at it any more complicated than that. I'm not gonna like be scripted like you, which I love, why I'm attracted to you in that way. And like, it's just gonna be have a conversation, and hoping that people that are listening in on this conversation will gain something from it.
Yeah, even if it's something small, like you said, something that could be super tiny and just it clicks though. And it like somebody just has that little aha moment.
Yeah, like I'll give you one other. I got an amazing opportunity to do a live. So there's a local baseball team here called the Rochester Red Wings. We did one live there. And a guy had his business next to us because he was like, he paid whatever, $5,000 a year to like have his business sponsored all around the stadium. So he had his table like every so often, and he had his table next to ours. And he's like, how do you do that? I was like, do what? He's like, you don't even notice people are here. You're just carrying on a conversation, asking questions and everything else. Like, I don't think about it. It's just like, I was like, how do you talk to people? Like, that's all it is. I just happen to have headphones on and a mic. Like,
right.
I love talking to people. I get energy from them. I hope to give them energy. It's like my whole purpose in life since 12, you know, is like, if I can make a difference in as many people as possible, like as cheesy as that sounds, all I care about, you know, as much as I can give and, you know, and hopefully receive, you know, just, you know, as far as just to continually provide and help, you know, more people, like, that's it, you know, abundantly give to abundantly receive to abundantly give again. Like that's it. Right.
I love
that's
it.
Me. I don't know.
I think it's a great philosophy to have, though, too. Like, you know, obviously, one of the only things that you and I differ on for the most part is I'm not a very spiritual person. I believe in energy. I believe in the universe. And I believe that when my time comes and I meet my maker, all right, cool, I'm open to it. You know, but for me, it's more of an open understanding. And I love like what you're doing, though, is like you're putting all this energy out there, like all this positive energy, and it's just coming back to you. And I think that's like the coolest thing.
Yeah, and I mean, that wasn't always me. And to me, it's just about opening the door. I think that's where a lot of people in whatever faith get it wrong. And maybe that's theirs, but from what I know, if anything, I call myself a follower of Jesus, because it's like, that's all it is. It's like, we're here to open the door. Like, what did Jesus do? Like, everyone can at least honestly admit, like, he was a cool character, but it's just like, you know, we're just here to open the door. It's all about relationships. It's really about relationships, loving God, loving others. Like, it's, but people overcomplicate it. People weaponize it. People turn it into us versus them, but it's really everybody. And it's like, you know, it's for being respectful of like your beliefs and not thinking mine is superior or anything. This is just me, but this is what's gotten me to where I am, because I grew up Catholic. I grew up hating God to becoming an atheist. Like, I literally was this guy who through my teens and 20s who didn't believe in a God, didn't want to believe in God. And if anything, and the only reason I picked up a Bible was part curiosity. I was like, well, I was grew up Catholic. I never opened a Bible. I know these Christians that know verses. How do they know that? So I went to different denominations. I probably went to, I don't know, 10 different. I was like, why do we have all these denominations? I didn't even know this. I only knew Catholicism. And like, I remember the first church I walked into that wasn't Catholic. And I was like, where's the thing you kneel on? Like, I was so confused. the other reason wasn't just curiosity of what I was hating. It was curiosity in that, like, in a little bit of a jerk way to, like, you know, prove these other Christians wrong, prove these Christians wrong. Oh, the contradiction, this and that. And there was, I was overcomplicating. And then when I started reading the Bible, this, how Jesus talked in stories, and just like, this is like, oh, there's like, this is like a love story in the middle of a war. Like, this is beautiful, whether you believe or not. It's just, this is, these are cool stories. And I had it all wrong. I had been told it all wrong. Right. So everybody's life experience, that they have to make it their own. And we can't like try to push or shove their ideas. I'm a big believer in curiosity. I even tell my kids, like, we do go to church together, but just so you know where I stand, it's like, I'm not forcing them. I'm not persuading them. I'm just like, ask questions, be curious, ask questions about the Bible. Like never take, I go in the, around my house, take everything with a grain of salt mentality, like question everything. Like, don't become religious to anything. I even tell them with their teachers. I hope they're, well, if their teacher listened, that now they know. Like, I tell them to question the teachers, because the teachers might be wrong, or the information might change in even a year. So it's like, that's where I'm at with a lot of this stuff. So just so we're clear, like, I love all people. I don't, I'll be open about it. And then it's your choice. I just know that I'm here. And I'll love you no matter what. Like, that's it. Like,
so for me, like, one of my biggest gripes about the current world that we live in is that people can't have a conversation. One of the things that you said was, you know, being open, like, I'll hear about other people's religion. This is what I feel. And like, dude, like, do you? And part of that, I have that philosophy for life. There are plenty of things in this world that I don't agree with. There are plenty of things in this world that I'm not smart enough to comprehend. But at the same time, like, if you come up to me and you're like, hey, this is what I believe in, I'm gonna be like, cool, tell me more. Like, why do you believe this? What do you believe in? Like, you know, I've talked to four different psychics on this show. Four psychics.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And each of them had a very different perspective on the psychic world. And I was like, I don't know if I actually believe in psychics. And I told them straight up, like, right away, like, when I first introduced myself to them, I was like, on the caveat, it's not that I don't believe in it. but it's just that I've never, like, it's not a belief that I have, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not going to say it's
Oh, yeah.
wrong, but I'm like, you know, it's not something I've ever experienced. So it's
and,
really cool.
Yeah. And just so, like, too, like, here, now people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to read his book. He's a Christian. I know. Well, just so you know, this isn't the Bible. And it's not, like, I have tools. And I know that there's going to be different types of belief systems reading it. And I want to offer up those tools. Because it's also, just so you know, I don't just have a Bible by my bed. And, you know, I read the Daily Stoic. I read the Daily Dad. I read different, I've got Taoism. There's Stoicism. There's Taoism. There's Buddhism. There's all kinds of things in there. There's different types of belief systems, because I want to encourage people who are ever guided by whatever they're guided by to know that they can, at the end of the day, what am I after? I want people to be able to, like, you know, find joy, because I know that everything, like you talk about, is energy. So if this, somebody can reading this who's not a Christian but reads this and finds some stuff that makes them a better person, that energy is going to go out to another person. And, like, that's how we change the world. I would be remiss if I didn't write this book. I would, like, you know, if I didn't write this knowing that it might impact at least one person that could affect a dozen more, then I'm doing a disservice to the world. And that's, like, you'll read this book and, yeah, you'll hear stories of suffering and pain and trauma and storms, but you're also hear stories of joy and happiness and overcome obstacles, and not just my stories this time. There's other stories in there. There's various types of things in there, anecdotal information, science-backed research, all kinds of stuff. It's pretty, I'm excited that, so you said about passion, like, I'm fired up. Plus, even the cover, man, like,
dude, it's pretty badass. Yeah,
if you knew who took the picture, though, you'll never guess who took that picture.
Were you gonna do that to me? You're not gonna tell me?
Well, my 8-year-old daughter with my iPhone, which is funny because I had a professional take tons of pictures, a friend of mine. Then I went back with another because they didn't think they'd be able to use that photo. But out of all the photos, it was the best one. So we just figured out how to zoom it in and, like, you know, just make it so it was clear and didn't look all digitized. But yeah, my 8-year-old daughter took it. It wasn't even for the cover. Like, she just took it. That's what's funny. All the other pictures were for the cover. That's what I think is wild about the whole thing.
Man, kids have such an eye and such a unique perspective on the world, especially with technology. It's funny because, like, here's a perfect example, and it's not involving kids. It involves my wife. So I am terrible with Canva. I am the worst with Canva. Like, I tried to do a Happy Holidays from the Misfit Faction, and it was rough. And I was still really proud because I tried my best. My wife spent 4 seconds just moving some things around and just changing the perspective, and holy crap, like, the whole thing just popped. And sometimes it's just the right perspective, especially the right people that know you. Your daughter knows, like, she knows you. She knows what pops. And obviously, kids are way better with technology than we were at that age. Like, it's wild.
Give her my, like, I'll give her my phone to make, you know, Heels video if I just wanted to. And because she doesn't have her own phone, and she'll come up with something, and, like, well, probably would have taken me 10 minutes if I would have even been that creative in the first place. And so I even talk about that in the book, like, seeing things through a child's eyes. I do talk about my children a lot in this book, about the creative process. I even talk about the science about before the age of 7 in a couple different areas, from, you know, the subconscious to the conscious. And I do that because it's like, you know, one story I'll share that I tell in the book is, you know, I talk about hiking and just seeing things through a child's eyes, because I've always been this competitive guy, racing the top of the mountain, essentially, you know, and that was me even in hiking or whatever. But, like, my kids got me to slow down and look around, and I realized how the world that I was missing by always thinking of the top of the destination. But that's such a great, you know, analogy for, like, how we should, I believe how we should view life, like, enjoy the journey. Life is more about the journey than the destination. Like, how many people who won a championship or got to the final, who then, boom, once you get to the top, where do you go? Like, I was literally just watching a documentary about nutrition and food, and they were talking to the chef who literally became the best restaurant in the world. And then he, like, went into, like, where do I go now? I go get the place I never thought I would. So it's always about, like, anything else. Like, you got to enjoy the journey and never have a final destination. I actually said this recently on a radio show. She looked confused. I was like, yeah, never really. I mean, you can have a destination, but don't let it be your final destination. You could have, think of it as just a stopping point along the way and just enjoying the journey, knowing that the journey is not always going to be up. There's going to be a lot more downs, and it's enjoying that even when there, so you can learn and grow from it to get back up. So,
that's awesome, man. So we are getting towards the end of our time now. Really quick, when
it sucks.
I know. The book, it's not released yet, correct? At the time of recording,
pre-release. You can go buy it on the digital, and a lot of people are asking when's paperback. So it'll be out before March 8th, but I can't give you a definitive date. It's literally like I handed it in my last round of edit, so they're literally just like putting those through. Like they say, I did it the old-fashioned way, where I had the print copy because. For anybody who writes a book, I highly encourage don't just do everything on a Google Drive and then hit send. Like we did it that way. And then I printed it, had it sent to me this like this, not this one exactly, but like this. And then I read through it from beginning to end. The first time I did the same thing with my first book, highlighted it, scratched out, rewrote, made it, had a little notepad next to it. And then I mailed it off to my publishers down in Florida, and they're piecing it all together that way. It book reads differently in page. So before March 8th, people are also asking about audio. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, booking a studio, but I would love to. If I did it for a book, it'd probably be, I don't know. People want the purpose to pay. I don't know. We'll see. I'd probably do this one first, honestly, because of the wealth of knowledge in there. But you can get it now, pre-sale, like $9.99, I think it is, the Kindle. But I know you can actually get Kindle to read to you, somebody said. There's
That's
an audio.
Terrifying.
I don't know how that works.
I'm not ready for that. Nope.
And then, yeah, paperback anytime between, you know, February or before March 8th anyway.
Dude, that's awesome. I can't wait to add it to my own collection. For those of you guys who are wondering, I know you've mentioned it. I read Justin's first book, and, you know, I walked in with a little bit of trepidation about religion and all that stuff, but it was a great read. I found it super powerful. Like I said, we still got a copy of it upstairs. It has survived many a book cleansing in our house, because there are plenty of times where we're like, all right, what can we donate? And I was like, nope. Like I have anybody who I've ever done a show with, I always keep the book. So I have like our friend Neil's book is upstairs. I have your book upstairs. We have another one that's being sent to us. Like, it's just like, I love it. Cause not only is the book great, but I have a connection to you.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And that really means a lot. Cause it's like, you know, we talk about, you hear probably in your circles, I hear it in mine, where people talk about legacy and what are they going to leave? And so many times it's been monetary. I'm not saying you can't, but I think, you know, money could be blown in a generation, but this is going to stand the test of time. It's in the Library of Congress, you know, my kids, my great grandkids. And again, it's not about me, but if I know there's things, man, I'm giving my kids a head start on things that took me a while to learn and grow. I know I'm only 43. I'm still young in a lot of people's eyes, but man, if I could get a head start, you know, yeah, there's business coaches, there's book coaches, but you know, I know my family will hopefully trust my name. Justin Arnold will see that. And then it's all sons of pride. You know, I've got this young daughter who's already started, my 8-year-old has already started writing a children's book. And then I've got my son who's already affirmed it, declared it, and started. He wants to write 5 books, he said, and he's already started on one. So it's like they would have never had that. And so to me, that's a bigger legacy. And if anything, you know, another thing that I've realized that I should have mentioned earlier, like what I've done after the book, man, it makes me hold to the things that I write to even more. It's like holding my own self accountable.
Nope.
Because like I got to practice what I preach. It's just about integrity. And I find myself to be that way. So not that I wouldn't anyways, but, you know, and it works. Trust me, everything I write, it works.
I love it.
It worked for me, and hopefully it'll work for you. So.
Dude, that's awesome. Now, for any of our listeners who want to learn more about you or connect, I know, I believe you and I are friends on the old Instagram, and, you know, obviously,
yeah.
But if people wanted to like learn more about you, your business, your social media, what would they do?
The biggest tip is remember how my first name is spelled, and it is Justin with an E-N, J-U-S-T-E-N. I'm going to say that again, J-U-S-T-E-N. Justin, as I used to be called when I was a kid, but it's just Justin. Justin Arnold. But that's pretty much anything, like at Justin with an E-N Arnold, at Justin Arnold on Instagram, at Facebook. I think it's something different on LinkedIn, but if you type that in, I'm the only Justin Arnold that I know of with an E-N. There might be one other in this world. And then justinarnold.com. You can book me for speaking, for workshops. You can find stuff. Still updating it. Eventually, we'll have the second book stuff on there, but the first book and other information. You can email me through there as well. And then you can find some of my links on there too. And here's my 8-year-old showing up, and this is how I do podcasts. I don't send them into a room and say, stay there. It's just
love
let them
it.
Be kids, man. They don't get it.
Awesome.
With their hockey hair everywhere.
Dude, I love it. Well, go be with your kids. This was so much fun. I'm so glad we got to reconnect.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.